Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking to grill masters who are giving us grilling tips, recipes, and safety information to make sure you have the best experience on the grill for this Memorial Day weekend and beyond. My guests tonight are Cedric Simon, owner of Bourbon Boar Barbecue, and Reggie Jones, owner of Big Reggie Barbecue. A reminder, this program was pre-recorded, so we aren't taking any phone calls tonight, but I promise there's still plenty of information to share, and I have lots of questions. I want to go back to where we left off when we were talking about the smoking and the, you know, and the low temperature, because I was doing something the absolute reverse, which it turned out okay, but maybe I do need to try the wood chips on first and then the coals at really low temperatures, Reggie.
That's correct. Barbecue is all about experimenting. So when you said you try something, that's what it's all about. Nobody has the perfect way of doing anything, even with your seasoning, even with how you prepare your meat. I know I'm getting ahead of stuff. You know, a lot of people like to marinate overnight. I like to season my food just before I put it on. Unless I'm brining something or something like that. But anyway, with smoking, it's the same thing. You're going to find, as an engineer, mechanical engineer like myself, I try different stuff because I understand the base process. I know my wood chips need to be wet instead of dry. Mm-hmm. And I've done both, and I really can't tell the difference whether wet wood chips versus dry wood chips smoke better or do you better. I haven't seen that, and I've been doing it since 1999. So it's your preference. So, you know, you have some bases there. And you just want to make sure that you have that low temperature is the key. And like Cedric was saying, the airflow is so important that you don't stifle your fire. But your fire can't be having too much oxygen because you don't want it to blaze out of control. It has to be settled. It has to be controlled. And every grill cooks different. Oh. I can't tell you how to do stuff on your grill like my grill because they're just two different animals. And let's be honest, it's all about where you live at. If you're in California versus Virginia, the elevation has something to do with how fire reacts.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, again, trial and error. Yeah, I agree. And again, trial and error is everything. And I think
right.
that everyone wants to be perfect the first time, you know, or their yeah. first, you know, five or six times. And it's just experience.
Nope.
You know, and you're going to do something different every time until you work it out to where it satisfies you or it satisfies your guests or your company or your family. You know, they'll tell you if it's nasty.
Yeah, I guess. So, yeah, because they won't clean their plates. You know,
yeah.
all of that food will be ending up in that big lawn and leaf bag that you got out there. Another quick question also before we get into the food, Cedric. What about pellets? A lot of folks are using pellets.
So I have so many grills. The only reason that I pellet grill for, you know, more of recreational use because you're not allowed to have charcoal on the decks. So the electric pellet grill was just ideal. And I have to say that I don't think I can say the brand, but there's only a few companies that make them anyway. But I can say this. I didn't have anything negative to say. It's just the pellet grills have so many components that fail that I found myself always, you know, buying a thermal coupling or something to fix it. So in catering, you know, we don't need that as business owners. It's just more recreational use, but I have no problem with the pellet grills. I think that that's something that if you're, you know, that weekend warrior, if you want to tackle smoking a brisket, that would be ideal as far as getting a pellet grill. So I won't knock them. It's just that once you're old school and you're used to doing things a certain way, you kind of favor that over the new technology, but I have smoked briskets on the pellet grill, and I enjoy them.
Mm. So let's talk about some cooking. Let's talk about some basics, because one of the things that, yes, flavor is important to me and all of that when you're talking about ribs, and let's just start with the ribs, but there are some ribs that are tough and some that are melt in your mouth. I prefer the melt in your mouth. What is it that determines whether or not a good smoked or barbecued rib is melting in your mouth, Reggie?
Yes, it starts with a good rub first. You have to identify a good rub, and then when people, when you say tough versus soft rib, people like to shortcut the process. True cooking temperature around that, like Cedric was saying, 275, 300, 325, you cook a rib indirect, no fire under it because you'll burn your ribs up. If you cook them for about 2 hours, I like to wrap my ribs. Sometimes I don't wrap, but the softer rib to me is taking me some parchment paper after cooking them for about 2.5 hours, letting the coals finish them and get that char and that caramelized on top. And then I save the ribs. I stop the ribs from really cooking on the outside. I wrap them in the parchment paper and let them finish themselves, cook from the inside out. That's what you could do, aluminum foil, either way. Some people don't like to wrap their ribs, but you got to remember, it's just like cooking on an indirect. It's like cooking in an oven. It's just dry heat. And if you don't have any moisture in there, that's why you got guys putting in, you know, water inside the grill or water pans.
Yep.
Water pans. Or you remember your mom used to take that can of water and stick it on the radiator in your room because your room was so dry back in the day. Same process. You know what I mean? So you have to have some type of, you can spray your ribs every so often. You know, you could do something like that, but you're going to have a way where you protect your rib from just drying out. Then, you know,
wrapping is extremely important.
Go ahead, Cedric.
It's extremely important. I think that, you know, most times people look at competitions and think that, oh, you know, they're wrapping for competition. But no, we're doing that to retain moisture. And also the process, and I'm glad Reggie brought that up, is because the other thing is that I see a lot of folks using tin forks where they're poking the meat. And a lot of times you can dry your meat out by, you know, creating orifices in it, you know, constantly poking it. It's just going to drain the moisture. And I've actually seen people poke and then spray it.
Ah.
which makes no sense. So you want to retain as much moisture as possible. So, you know, of course, and also I wish that more folks would use thermometers too. There's no shame in using a thermometer of knowing your internal temps. Understand when your meat is done, what the internal temps are, and where you need to be, you know?
Right.
So it's a simple thermometer. So using some of technology will enhance your cooking skills greatly if you just follow the rules.
What do you think about parboiling, Cedric? I know that's something that I want some people to...
I won't even talk about that, Harold. We skip the subject.
Okay.
No.
That's a no.
Taking all the flavor out of me. You know what I mean? I hear people do that. It's just an old way of trying to hurry up and get food done. They're cooking it. Me and Cedric is talking about, we're talking about doing an authentic way of barbecuing. There's no rush job in barbecuing. When you're searing a piece of meat, and you grilling and searing and cooking a hamburger in less than 2 or 3 minutes, that's not barbecue.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So you need to understand what you're getting into when you say, hey, I want a barbecue. Get yourself some cold to drink. Sit down for a while because it's going to be a long day. Now, we're talking brisket. Let me put brisket on the table. You got a piece of meat that's lean, and you got a piece of meat that's got a lot of fat in it. And you got to be able to cook both of them at the same time and get them done. Brisket is hard. It ain't no, you either hit it or you miss it. And it's the hardest meat to cook in barbecue because you got those two pieces of muscles. You got a lean piece of muscle, which isn't flat.
Right.
And you got the point that's got a bunch of marble in it, and it's got a bunch of moisture in it. You got to take care of both of them pieces of meats when you cook them at the same time.
And to add to that, it's a working muscle. And people have to realize any time that you have a working muscle is extremely tough. So that's why we have to cook it so long to break it down. And it is a long process. And I'm glad we're bringing up brisket, because the per pound and the money in brisket, people have to understand it is a long process for us to cook brisket. Most times when I do pop-ups, I'm doing maybe 7 to maybe 8 briskets. And, yeah, it's expensive. And when you see the process, you will understand why. I am up 2 days cooking brisket. You know, I don't
eat anything. Exactly.
And a lot of fuel and a lot of wood.
Yeah, I'm 18 to 20 hours.
Same here.
And it's a different stage from the grill, in a cooler, to let it rest, you know, wrapping it. I mean, it's babysitting, 20 legit hours of babysitting. I charge, and I hate to put this out there, but you can find it on my website if you go see the price there. I charge $40 a pound for my brisket.
It's the first thing to go.
Yep. You know, because people know the process and they know what it takes to get for an authentic way to cook it. I don't cook it all the time. Cedric, I'm still learning how to master it. I do okay. I'm doing real good with it. But, man, it's the worst thing to try to learn to cook. Now, not to scare nobody.
Right.
You want to learn how to cook it. You understand what I'm saying? And there's research out there and technology out there to help you with that. So.
Yep.
Let's two things I want to talk about. I'm not doing a lot of red meat now, only because my doctor says don't do a lot of red meat now. But okay. Sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't. But, you know, one of the things that I really enjoyed was a ribeye. And just, you know, when I've got, you know, that grill just really, really hot. And I have a thermometer actually on the grill. And I'm, you know, sometimes I may do a little dry rub or what have you. But, you know, that we're talking about a super hot grill may be 550, maybe even 600 degrees. I throw that rascal on there 3 minutes on one side. I flip it over, you know, 3 minutes on the other side with a little butter and some parsley and some rosemary, and it is crusted on the outside. It's medium rare, and I tell you, just absolutely, absolutely fantastic. And if there's other than a chicken, that's what I do. You know, we're talking a total of maybe 7.5 to 8 minutes for that ribeye. Then you let that rascal rest for about 5 minutes, and I tell you, it slap your mama good.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're making me hungry.
You need to be on the side of us.
Hey, exactly. But here's the other thing, and I was listening really carefully, because one of the things that I really, really like, and, you know, on my Instagram page, you know, Harold T. Fisher, I'm always, you know, posting what I'm cooking. And the next time I'm going to try to smoke a chicken, you know, low and slow. But one of the things that I've done, like I will marinate a chicken overnight with, you know, a little, you know, olive oil and some honey and some garam masala and some garlic and some ginger. I put all of that in the food processor and turn it into kind of a paste. And I just put it all on the chicken. But before I even do that, I butterfly, cut out the back. I'm going to cut the back of the backbone out. And then, you know, I just put it on the chicken and I let it sit overnight. But what I was doing was, and this is the indirect. So after I've got my coals, I put the coals in first, and it's a whole chimney. I've got probably a 12-inch chimney, or yeah, something like that, 12 or 15-inch chimney, and then I put my soaked apple or cherry chips on top, and then laid my grates down, put the chicken on, and the other thing is, after I clean the grill, I'll cut an onion in half and I'll spray it with olive oil and I'll run it over the grill. And then I'll put the chicken down and I just put it down and I watch the temperature just really crank up. I will cover the wing tips of the chicken with foil so that they don't burn. And what happens is the chicken gets this deep bronze, reddish bronze crust. And, you know, I may turn it around once or twice to make sure that it's even, but then I just let it sit there, you know, every 30 minutes, I'll baste it, but I just let the temperature drop. And after about 90 minutes or so, and I do use a thermometer because of the thick breast meat and putting it between the leg and the thigh to make sure that it's good. But I think, you know, that high temperature really cooks like the outside of the chicken, and then the inside really cooks, and the breast meat is as tender as the dark meat. You know, it's
sounds good, man.
It really is. The thing that I've had to really work on is to make sure, and this is, we're talking about around the 93rd, 94th, 98th minute, is to make sure that it's all the way done and not pink inside, but not to overcook the breast where it's dry,
right?
And that last 5 or 10 minutes where you're going from 90 minutes to about 98 minutes really makes the difference.
I do want you to keep in mind, though, even chicken, you're going to have, with the wood chips, you're going to have some red meat inside, so you're going to have some pink meat from the smoke.
That's natural.
That's correct.
Yeah, and I kind of this last go round this past week, and I found that out, and I definitely giving myself rave reviews for that. But what about you, Reggie? What's your best chicken recipe or technique?
Mine is pretty easy, man. My mother's side of the family is from the Caribbean. My father's from North Carolina, so my cooking style blends both the Caribbean and North Carolina style barbecue. So my best chicken recipe on the grill is jerk chicken. And I go all around. I got friends in Jamaica. I got friends in Trinidad and Tobago. And I've had and all their wives like to cook, because my buddies can't cook a lick. So I get all my different seasonings and learning about the different seasons when it comes to jerk chicken from their wives. And I experiment over the years on what's the best technique, what's the best way of cooking it. So I like a jerk chicken wing on the grill. And, man, I get a kick out of it. And it's so good that I don't cook it for myself all the time, because if I do, I'll eat myself to death. So I just cooked. I took a break from jerk chicken wings about a year and a half ago, and I got one of my buddies, and he's probably listening to the show, and I haven't cooked any since I been out of his house when he used to live in Ackee out in Maryland. And, man, I used to cook the wings for him at their parties, because they have nice parties. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to come over and cook the jerk chicken wings. Man, you'll eat yourself to death, man.
Oh, so, man.
That's my dry rub versus a wet rub, it doesn't matter to me. I just, anything jerk, man, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. What about your best chicken recipe, Cedric?
Mine is a West African chicken with a lot of seasonings, coriander, turmeric. It's a lot. And I think that's my best. It's more of a dry rub, and then I smoke it with mesquite wood. But that's been my signature chicken.
Mm. Well, let's talk about the woods real quick, and I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, we've got hickory, mesquite, apple, sometimes walnut, and cherry. What is, you know, Cedric, what is the difference between each of these woods, and what are they best for?
So normally, like pecan is more of a mild wood. I like to do pecan. You can use them for whatever your preference is. There's no rules. Well, they are rules, but it's just, to me, it really doesn't make sense. I mean, if you want to use mesquite wood for ribs, then you can use them. I use all different types of woods for everything. And but normally, you have woods that have a more powerful flavor. Like mesquite is very powerful. So you kind of got to be careful with it, you know, when you're using certain meats. Like I like mesquite on normally fish and seafood, so that's what I use it for. But I have used it on chicken. But normally, like cherry wood, I love it on ribs. Apple wood I use on ribs. Apple wood is to me as well, but cherry is more a distinctive flavor. You almost can taste the cherry. It's just for me, it's cherry is the best wood flavor profile that you can actually taste in the meat when it's finished. So that's my favorite. And it's more versatile. Like you can use cherry on everything and it'll taste good.
Can we all agree that when you're making burgers, don't press the burger with the spatula?
True. I see people doing that all the time.
Oh,
I'm
man.
Like, what are you doing?
Yes, leave the burger alone. Flip the burger gently. Leave it alone. Don't smash it. You're letting all the flavors out. But, yeah.
A lot of people don't know how to form the burger when they first create the burger. So they say we're used to ending up with this hockey puck of a burger, or a little almost like a meatball because the meat shrivel up. Understanding your protein, understanding your meat, and that's what anything you're cooking on the grill. You need to understand what the heat and what the fire does to that muscle or does to that protein, because chicken meat cooks a different way. Ribeye steak cook a different way. Flat steak cook a different way. I like a tomahawk steak, you know, with the big old bone in it. And, you know, that's one of my favorites. My wife makes a filet mignon. I like a nice beef rib with the short rib on top. You know, all those things cook different. So, and then you're talking about the woods. You got to be careful cooking with the wood so much that you turn your food black. You can overdo it. You know, I've seen people cook so long with the wood, they think they're constantly smoking and smoking and smoking, and your food took on too much, and it turned like it looks like charcoal.
Right, and instead of using the first hour, that's it. You know, once you got that first hour of smoke, just use the fuel or the charcoal to finish the rest.
That's correct. So, a couple of things real quick. How do you keep, you know, fish from sticking? I have ruined many a fillet. I just can't seem to get that right. How do you keep it from sticking? Do you get one of those roasting trays that you put on top of the grill and put it in on the indirect heat? What do you say, Reggie?
The cheaper way to do it is to take yourself some tin foil and lubricate that and put the fish in it and make yourself a pouch.
Okay.
If you want to finish it, it depends on. I like more of a white fish. We go out of Banks, North Carolina, and we go fishing for our own. So I go fishing for my own tuna, my own mahi-mahi, and we come back and we have a guy that butcher and cut up all our fish. We'll come back with 1,000 pounds of fish and we'll have fish forever. Some of this fish, a lot of people like to just put it right on the grill. Unless you know your grill has a really, really non-stick surface, and you kind of lube it up or whatever. But you got to be careful. Fish is kind of tough. The safer way to do it is to put it in aluminum foil. Now, they got these little trays you put on the grill. They got all these perforated holes in it. That's another way of doing it. It's like a, it's more like a skillet with holes in it, and it helps you to slide some type of spatula up under there if you want to flip it or rotate it and you want to get the smoky flavor. But, you know, it takes practice. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely practice. I was just about to bring up those trays, and actually they work pretty well. And it depends on the fish. Like grilling fish, snapper, and when it's whole, works best on grilling.
Right.
You know, it kind of it's a coarse fish that pretty much stays intact. So sometimes you kind of want to experiment on fish that can hold up in you know, and grilling temperatures. And of course, always cook the fish indirect, or if you're smoking it.
Yeah. Well, in these last few minutes, Cedric, I want to ask you. You know, we've got these vegetarians out there, vegans and the like. Your best suggestion for grilling vegetables, aside from the fact that you don't want to put asparagus on the grill because you won't see it again. I get that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to answer that, but I also want the vegans are not left out, because we use jackfruit, and we use it in just like we do pulled pork, and I can fool a person by using jackfruit and adding barbecue sauce to it and putting it on a bun, and they think they're eating pulled pork.
That's a lot of work, though.
Yeah.
That jackfruit, you know, pulling those seeds out, that's labor-intensive work.
It is. It's labor-intensive, but, you know, it's the closest thing I can get to the barbecue. As far as vegetables, zucchini and squash, love grilling that, and also corn. A lot of recipes for corn. Corn is just my favorite on the grill.
Yeah.
And a big portobello mushroom. The big one, great on the grill, you know?
With a burger in between.
I think that kind of ruins the point.
I know.
And look, let me say, you know, I did this a long time ago. I grilled some pound cake and some fresh peaches that I had put with some, you know, some cinnamon and some chili powder. If I come and see any one of you guys, you better have my name on this one.
Okay. But
you've got that, you know, the grilled pound cake with the char marks.
Right.
You've got the char marks on the peaches, and you've got that, you know, the natural sugar with a little bit of the chili, not cayenne, but chili powder, and then a scoop of ice cream on top of that bad boy.
And a
little syrup, little chocolate syrup. There you go, slapping your mama again. So.
Man, let me tell you need your own cooking show, man, because you're really cooking.
I know.
Hey, I do what I can.
Yeah, Harold can cook. I follow you on Instagram, man. I see. I'm watching.
Well, guys, I want to thank you both, Cedric Simon and Reggie Jones, for spending, you know, this hour with us talking about, you know, some good cooking. And what's your website real quick, Cedric?
BourbonBoarBarbecue.com. And of course you can follow us on IG at BourbonBoarBarbecue.
Okay. And Reggie?
Mine is Big Reggie's with an S. Big Reggie's, the letters BBQ.com.
And of course this is going to be on our website this evening, where you can find where these guys are. Again, thank you so much, Cedric Simon, Reggie Jones. I really appreciate your time. Have a great and safe Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you. You do the same.
All right.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, May 28th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night, and have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control. It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves romance? Give me a soft, subtle mix. And if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. And think of the summers of the past. Adjust the bass and let the alpine...